and we were on Samach Hei Amid Beis. The last thing we saw was that the Gemara said that there's even a power that the sages have to create beings. So, Rava once created a person through Sefer Yetzirah. He sent this man over to Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira tried to talk to him, but the guy couldn't talk because the pasuk says, "Vayihi Adam lenefesh chaya." Man became a speaking spirit. So only God gives man the ability to speak. But humans who create automatons, they can't give them the power to speak. So this being couldn't speak. So Reb Zeira saw. He said, "Go back to the dust." Rav Hanina and Rav Oshia used to sit every Friday, and they used to study the book of Kabbalah called Sefer Yetzirah. And as a result, a calf would be created for them. Anyway, they would then eat the calf. That's what we'd gotten up to, all in the context of magic. So we're at the bottom here of Samach Hei Amid Beis. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. The verse says that you shall not have Ma'onain, Mechashef, Shoel Ovi, Doni, and Chover Chaver. So what is Ma'onain? Sounds like the word Anan, a cloud. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ze'amavir Shiva Minei Zchur La'ayin. This is a person who would take seven different semen's samples from seven different people over the eye, and in that way do magic. Chacham Omer, Chacham say no, Ma'onain is Ha'ochez Ha'so'inayim. It's someone who has sleight of hand. It looks to the eye that he's doing magic, but really he's not. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Zeh machashev itim v'shoh. So it's a person who makes calculations like horoscopes based on the hour or the moment. He says, well, hayom yafilatzeh. Today's a lucky day. I should go out and do business. I'll succeed. L'machar, tomorrow's a lucky day. Yafilikach. That's a good day to buy. Or limudei arve shviyas chitin yafo. So he'll say, well, the wheat of Erev Shemitah is going to be very good. Ikure kitnios mehios roos. If you uproot some of the corn and peas and legumes, that's going to make sure that nothing is bad. It's going to make sure nothing rots. So all sorts of superstitious things. So superstitious things, that's the prohibition of Ma'onain. On the next price, we'll tell you that's the prohibition of Menachesh. Tanur Rabbanan learned in a price of Menachesh that the Torah says you're not allowed to be. So Omer, that's the guy who says, well, piti nafla mi piv, if my bread fell out of my mouth, all right, it's an unlucky day, so I'm not going to go into the market today. Maklo naflo miyado, my staff fell from my hand. Or b'no kore lo me'achrav, my son is calling me from behind. Or orev kore lo, or there's a raven squawking at me. Svihiv siko baderech, there was a deer that ran across the road. Nachash mi'emino, there was a snake at my right. Shuol mi'smolo, or a fox at my left. And therefore, it's an unlucky day, there are bad things happening. So we're not allowed to do that. Things happen. We can't say, oh, it's a sign. We should go on and serve God. And tam tiyam Hashem Elokecha, be whole in your faith with God. Let's say a guy says to a tax man or to a debt collector, al taschabi, don't start with me. Go collect taxes from somebody else. If you start with me, it's unlucky. Or he says, shachrasu, it's the morning. I can't pay my taxes in the morning because then the whole day is going to be bad. Let me pay it at night. Or Rosh Chodesh, it's the beginning of the month. It's going to set a bad tone for the month. Or Matzi Shabbosu, it's Saturday night. It's the beginning of the week. If I pay my debts or the taxes at the beginning of the week, it's going to be unlucky for me. So that a person can't do, because that, again, is superstition. And the Torah says, Lo Sanachashu. Tanur Rabbanan went to Nebraska, Lo Sanachashu, V'lo Sa'onenu. There's a prohibition not to do Nichosh, not to do Inun. So Kagon Elo Menachshin B'chulda, B'ofus of Adagim. These are people who have all sorts of signs, based on a bird, based on fish, based on a weasel. They say, oh, it's unlucky, there was a weasel in the house, I can't buy the house. That, none of that is good. We should be Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. Yeah, question? Maybe, yeah. Yeah, it's true.
How do we explain this, like, sejuvot that we do, ki and the chala, or some of the things that we do?
So the idea of the skulot is different. It's a good question, right? Because here we see we're not allowed to be superstitious. The idea of the skulot is that it's a reminder to us, or it's a prayer through an action. So let's say, for example, you know, the key in the challah. So we're really praying to God that He should open up for us the gate of heaven, and after Yom Tov we should have Shefa of Bracha. So instead of saying that, God, open up the gates of heaven and send down a Shefa of Bracha, we do an act which reminds us of the concept. We make l'chala in the shape of a key. But that's not this. That's something very different. That's a simen tov. We're asking God, you know, send a good mazel. And this is the way we ask, by hiding it in an act. But here, these are things where a person says, well, if such and such happened, so then it's unlucky. What do you mean? One thing has nothing to do with the next. The fact that there is a cow, the fact that there's a weasel doesn't mean anything. I decide a weasel's bad luck, so that's nothing. So that you can ignore. In the back here of the Masifta Gemara, as they quote the Shailos HaTshuvos Sha'ar Shimon, who points out that there are certain families that they won't do certain things because they say it didn't work out for members of their family. Like they won't plant, or they won't be carpenters or shoemakers. They say, well, back in, you know, who knows how many generations ago, there was someone in our family who was a carpenter. He died suddenly. So someone else died suddenly with planting. So we don't do those things. It's unlucky for us. So is that a problem of lo sa'onanu v'lo sa'nachashu? So he said, no, because there's Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, you can't be superstitious, but if something happens three times, at that point, you can be choshesh. We find this halacha in Yevamos, that if a woman is married to a man and he dies, and he marries another man, the next man dies. She marries the third husband dies. She's not supposed to marry the fourth. Because if it happened three times, maybe it'll happen to the fourth one too. I lo sonanu v'lo sanachshu, don't be superstitious. So the Yerushalmi says, you're not supposed to be superstitious, but if something's happened three times, there's a chazaka. Once there's a chazaka, so now lemechash mi bay, now you should be worried. So this Shailos HaTshuvos Sha'ar Shimon says, these families that have these customs, he's sure that it's because it happened three times. Three times in the family, the carpenter died. So they accepted not to do these things. That's already okay. If something happens three times, then already you can, you know, take it into account. But stam, superstitions, you know, the old wives' tales, these are things we shouldn't worry about.
Not outside of Avelus, during the 3 weeks or 9 days that we kind of add on.
Like what?
I don't know. I feel like there are certain things they just don't do out of...
So the Gemara says in Tanis that you shouldn't go to a, you shouldn't go have a court case with a guy during the 9 days. You shouldn't go to the courts because it's a bad time. It's a time of suffering for the Jewish people. So it's true. There are times that's already in the halacha. That's not superstition. That you could say the answer of the Yerushalmi. You know, it's happened many times. It didn't work. So now you have to be choshesh for it. But if something hasn't been established many times, so then it would be superstition to say, oh, it's bad luck and we won't do it. I mean, you know, in the sports teams, their managers and the coaches are very superstitious, yeah, but that's the prohibition. The Torah says we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be superstitious in that way. All right, the next Mishnah. Hamachalos HaShabbos. Again, another example of someone who gets stoned to death is someone who violates Shabbos. That would be Bedavar Shechayav and Alzdono Kares. If he violates Shabbos with an act that, were it to be done without a warning, would get Kares. And if it's done by mistake, it gets Chatas. If it's done with a warning and witnesses, it could get stoning. So the Gemara now asks, Mechlaudi Kimidit Chilul Shabbos Havi. Vein Chayav and Lol Shigugasel Chatas Lol Alzdono Kares. Is there some way to violate Shabbos and not be something that if it were done on purpose, you'd get Kares and by mistake have to bring a sin offering? Mahi, what is that? And so the Gemara, Tchumen, there is a law that you shouldn't walk too far on Shabbos, that there are boundaries of the city on Shabbos, and you shouldn't walk 2,000 amos outside the boundary of the city. That's not one of the malachot. It's not one of the 39 main categories of work. But it's still a biblical prohibition. I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a biblical prohibition. So there is something which, if done on purpose, wouldn't get kares. But it's not malacha. The pasuk says, kala oseh malacha, most you must. Anyone who does malacha dies. It's not malacha. But it's still prohibited on Shabbos. Or havara, kindling a flame. We know that the Torah says don't do any malacha. Then the Torah says don't kindle flames. Why does it have to say don't kindle flames? It already says don't do malacha. So we saw an argument. Maybe it says don't kindle flames to teach me that each malacha there's a separate prohibition. Or it says don't kindle flames because kindling flames is not as severe as the others. It's just a lav. Havara, alibet Rabbi Yossi, koin Rabbi Yossi, it's just a lava. Next Mishnah, amakal av v'imo. If a person curses his father or his mother, he deserves to be stoned to death. Eino chai bat shikalim b'shem. What's a curse? He has to invoke God's name and curse them by God's name. Kill him b'kinui, if he curses them with an acronym for God, a nickname for God. Rameir Machai, Rameir says he also gets stoned to death. The chachamim potum, the chachamim say he is exempt. Says the Gemara, man chachamim, who is the chachamim who say that if he curses his father with a nickname for God, he doesn't get stoned? It's Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi. It's the view of Rabbi Nachman, the son of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Nachman, the son of Rabbi Yossi, taught the Torah says, V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumas, one who curses the name of God will be put to death. Ragomi Gemuvo Koloida, the people will stone him. Kager Kaezrach, whether he's a stranger or a citizen. V'nokvo Shem, then it repeats it. V'nokvo Shem Yumas, when he will curse the name, he gets put to death. So now, Matam Alomar Shem, why does it have to repeat? When he curses the name. So it's not necessary for the idea of cursing God that was said at the beginning of the Pasuk. Again, the Pasuk says, V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumas, Rogom Yirgumuvo Kol Eidak Ager Kezrach, and then again, V'nokvo Shem Yumas. So once it says, V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumas, why repeat again? V'nokvo Shem Yumas. So the fact that it said shame is limed al makal avimo. That's to teach that one who curses father and mother, Sheino Chayvot Shikal B'Shem, he's only guilty if he curses with the name of God, and therefore if he curses with a kinui, he is exempt. That's Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi. That's the view of the Chachamim of our Mishnah.
Rabbi, is the difference between cursing and disrespecting parents?
Sure. Yeah, very different. Yeah, disrespecting is not a death penalty. Tanu Rabbanan, we were taught by our sages in a Braisa. The verse says, "Ki ish ish, for any man, Asher yikalel aviv v'imo, who will curse his father or mother, most you must, he will be put to death. Aviv v'imo kilel damav bo, he cursed his father or mother. It's his own blood on him. It's his own fault." Now, I could have said ish, matam alomer ish ish. Why does it say a man or a man? The rabos bas. It's to include a daughter as well. That's why it says any man. And tumtum, or someone who we don't know if he's male or female, or an androgynous. He has both the signs of being a male and a female. It says, again, ish, ish, any man, kia kalel. Why doesn't it say ish or isha? I guess, I don't know, but it's to include isha too, because it's including bas, it's including daughter. So it says, ish, ish, asher yikalel as aviv esimo mos yumas, aviv imo kilel damav bo. So after it says ish, ish, he continues to say, asher yikalel as aviv esimo. So it could have just said, asher yikalel aviv imo. Why does it add all the words S? S aviv, S imo. Ein li ala aviv v'imo. I would have thought that he's only guilty if he curses father and mother together. Aviv shalo imo. Imo shalo aviv. What happens if he just curses father and not mother, just mother and not father? Minayin, how do we know that that also is a death penalty? Tam aloma, that's what the verse says. Aviv v'imo kileil damav bo. He cursed father and mother. His blood is against him. So now the Gemara says, Aviv Kilel, Imo Kilel. So that teaches you if it's just father that he cursed, or just mother that he cursed, he gets the same penalty. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia, because the one pasuk says Aviv Imo Kilel, and the other pasuk says Asher Yekalel as Aviv es Imo. So in one pasuk you have the word Yekalel next to Aviv, and the next pasuk Aviv Imo Kilel. The word kilel is next to imo. So that's to say that whether you curse his mother or he curses his father, he is put to death. Rabbi Yonah said, Rabbi Yonah says, you don't need a special pasuk. Since the pasuk says, Asher yikalel es aviv es imo, mashmash neim keachel, it implies both together. Umashmach bifnei atzmo, it also implies one by itself. Why? Because we would only say something means only both together. Achid far l'cha kosuf yachtov. The Torah says both together, like we find with Kilayim. It says Lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtav. Don't plow with the ox and the donkey together. But here the Torah doesn't say together. It just says don't curse father, don't curse mother. So that means each by itself is also the same penalty. Continuing on in the pasuk, the pasuk says Mos Yumas, he's put to death, the one who curses. Viskila, that means he's stoned to death. Atom viskila, you're telling me it's stoning. Maybe it's one of the other three deaths that the Torah has. Maybe it's burning. Maybe it's choking. Maybe it's beheading. The answer is Namar Khan. It says over here, Damav Bo, his blood is in him. And Namar Lahalan, it says later, to Mayhem Bum, their blood is in them. By over you don't eat. Malahalan biskilo. There it says explicitly, Be'evan your gemur osam, they will stone them. So it's with stoning. Avkan. So here too that it says to mehem bam, it's biskilo, it's with stoning. Oneshamanu. Okay, so we hear the punishment to mehem bam that they're supposed to be stoned. Azhar minayin, where does the Torah warn? Where does the Torah say don't curse? Tamalomar. So really it's where the Torah says don't curse other people. It says Elohim lo sekalel. Don't curse the judges. V'nasiva amcha lo sa'ar, the ruler of your nation, don't curse. So therefore, imhay aviv dayan, if his father's a judge, areyu b'chlal, so that's included in Elohim lo sekalel, don't curse the judges. Imhay aviv nasi, if his father is the king, or the leader, the reish galusa, the leader of the nation, areyu b'chlal v'nasiva amcha lo sa'ar. So now he's including the verse that says, don't curse the leader of your nation. Now, eino lo dayan v'lo nasi, let's say the father is neither a judge nor a leader. I mean, how do we know that we can't curse him? Amrit, so the answer is Areyat Adan, Binyanav, Mishneim. So we figure it out based on a concept called Binyanav, Tzad Hashava, the common denominator. Listen, Lo Ri'i Nasi Kiri Dayan. The reason why a king should be strict is not the same reason as why we should be strict with a judge. Lo Ri'i Dayan Kiri Nasi. And the reason why we should be strict with a judge is not there with a leader. How so? Lo Ri'i Dayan Kiri Nasi. When we think about a judge, what's special about a judge? If the judge tells you what halacha to follow, you have to listen to his halachos. If the judge says this is the law, we have to follow to those laws. He's a Torah scholar. So if we curse him, wow, it's a terrible thing. We owe him so much respect. That's not like a king. A king is not necessarily a Torah scholar. If the king or the leader tells you, I think that the halacha is that electricity on Shabbos is a biblical prohibition, you don't have to listen to him. He's not a great Torah scholar. He's not the Chazon Ish. So I think that the king you could curse because he doesn't have Torah honor. On the other hand, when we think about the stringency of a king, it's not like a judge. If the king tells you, I want you to pay 50% tax, you have to pay 50% tax. If he says 80% tax, you have to pay 80% tax. We have to listen to the king. We have to be in awe of the king. If he tells you to do things in a secular sense, you have to do them. Where a judge, a Torah scholar, the Torah scholar tells you to do something in a secular sense, you don't have to listen to him. You only have to listen to his halachic rulings. So if I would have had one, I wouldn't have necessarily known the other. But what's the common denominator once it says both? That they are both members of the nation. They're good Jews. You're not allowed to curse them. So your father's also a good Jew. Including the prohibition of not cursing them, you can't curse father. Mark says, what do you mean? I'll tell you something else. They're both very prominent people. One is great in Torah, one is great in secular authority. That's what the Torah says, you can't curse them. But father maybe is not so great. Maybe you could curse father. So Talmud Lomar, so 1 second, there's a third verse. The verse says another prohibition. Lo sekalel cheresh, don't curse the deaf. Now the deaf is not a prominent person. He's the opposite. He can't go to job, probably. He's poor. He's got problems. He's deaf. And the Torah says, don't curse him. Boom lalim shabam chakasam adab. The verse is telling you, the lowly of your nation don't curse. So if the Torah is saying, don't curse the lowly, so certainly he can't curse anybody. You can't curse the great because the Torah says don't curse the king or the leader or the judge. And you can't curse the lowly because it says you can't curse the deaf. That means you can't curse anyone. Yeah, question, Baruch?
You're talking about deaf or deaf?
Deaf. Can't hear.
Okay, okay. How about the dead people?
Can't curse them either.
So they equating the punishment for cursing parents?
No.
Nope.
No, we're talking about the prohibition now. Now we're not talking about the punishment. The prohibition is separate.
No, but we did before, just 2 seconds ago.
Now we're asking about the prohibition. This is all, we can't punish unless we have first a warning. Where is the warning not to curse parents? We have a punishment for cursing parents. We don't have a punishment for cursing another person.
Okay, and the judge you were talking about, is that a judge or is it a rabbi?
A rabbi judge, a Beit Din, a member of the Beit Din, a Dayan.
Okay, all right.
So now the Gemara asks, but still there's no proof. Maybe the very fact that the person is deaf, so you have to have rachmanas on him, you have to have compassion. He's a deaf person, he's poor, he's miserable. How do you dare curse him? You have to treat him with love. So the Gemara says, well, if it's all about that you have to be especially careful to those who are lowly, why does the Torah say that you're not allowed to curse the leaders? They're not lowly. So, you said, no, the leaders you can't curse because they're prominent. But the issue is not prominence, because cheresh yochiach, because you can't curse a deaf man. He's not prominent. V'chazer adin. So as we try to come up with a common denominator that will explain all the phenomena, lo rizek yirizeh, the characteristic of this is not like the characteristic of that. The characteristic of a deaf man is not like the characteristic of a leader. V'lo rizek yirizeh, the characteristic of a leader is not like the characteristic of a deaf man. Hatzad ha-shav ha-shav, what is common to all, shehen ba'amcha, that they are members of the nation. They're good Jews who carry out Torah and mitzvos. But you have a warning not to curse them. So I'll also include your father, who is a member of your nation. We know the Torah gives you a punishment for cursing him. So certainly, when the Torah doesn't want you to curse him, the Torah doesn't want you to curse the lowly, doesn't want you to curse the prominent, certainly doesn't want you to curse your fathers. They're included in prominent and lowly. You're not allowed to curse any Jew. So that's the warning. The warning is don't curse him because he's a Jew. But the punishment is a special punishment. It's the punishment of stoning because he is father. A question?
I'm saying that with a father, why we have so much, we have to learn it from that so-called chiresh. Why?
Right. It's not a prohibition.
What do we have there?
It's where's the...
What you want.
That's not a prohibition. That's not an azhara. That's a mitzvah saseh. Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. But where do we have a prohibition? So where's the azhara? So Gemara says, but still, mal atzad hashav shaben shekem yishunim. Maybe the deaf man and the leaders, you can't curse because they're not like regular Jews. They're different. So because they're different, you can't curse them. But how do we know that you can't curse regular people? Ella, so the answer is, okay, it's not based on logic, it's not a mamatzinu, but rather it's because there are extra words. Im kain, if the psukim were to be taken literally, maybe to create a common denominator that unusual Jews can't be cursed. Nichtov kro elohim v'cheresh, the Torah should say the judge and the deaf man you can't curse. Onasi v'cheresh, or the leader and the deaf man you can't curse. And I would say, you can't curse the prominent, you can't curse the lowly, you can't curse people who are unusual. Elohim lamali, why mention two different prominent people that you can't curse and one lowly person? So the extra prominent person who's mentioned, Emeinu Inyan Legufo, is not to tell me just that you can't curse this prominent person, because we would have learned it from Nasi. So it's Neinu Inyan La'aviv, so must be it was said to tell me you can't curse father. Anicha, that's fine. L'madam Elohim cho. That if you interpret the phrase Elohim lo sakalel as referring to a judge, fine, and we've worked it all out. Elamad amar kodesh, but there is an opinion who says that it's Elohim lo sakalel. It's a reference not to curse God. So ma'ikol amemar. Now you don't have an extra pasuk, because actually you have one pasuk saying don't curse the king, another pasuk saying don't curse the deaf, and that's it. You don't have an extra pasuk to say that that's applying to father. So answers the Gemara. As we know, this is an argument. The time we lived in a brisa, Elohim lo sakalel chol. It's a secular judge. That's the view of Rabbi Shmuel. It's the Dayan. However, Rabbi Kiva Omer Elohim is kodesh. It means don't curse God. The time Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, "As harlem avarechas Hashem." Where's the warning where Hashem says don't curse God? Time lo Omer Elohim lo sakalel, where the pasuk says don't curse God. So the Gemara answers like this: Lamadim Elohim chol, gamar kodesh michol. So of course, as we've said, if Elohim is a reference to a judge, so again, how do I know then that you can't curse Hashem's name? If it can't curse a judge, it certainly can't curse Hashem's name. L'man d'amar Elohim kodesh, and according to the opinion that says that Elohim here is a reference to God, gamrinan chol mi kodesh, we derive the judge from God. Just like you can't curse God, you can't curse a judge. Okay, if that's what we're doing, so the Torah doesn't have to say don't curse a leader. It already said don't curse a judge when it said don't curse God. And we could have said, once it says don't curse God, it means also don't curse a judge. And it says explicitly don't curse the deaf. So it doesn't have to also say don't curse the leader. So why did it say don't curse the leader? Must be it's coming for teaching me don't curse father. So Gemara says, no, but Bishlam Laman Amar, it would make sense if you say Elohim Chol, that when it says don't curse Elohim, it's a reference to don't curse a judge. Gamar Kodesh Michol, you can say don't curse God from the fact that you can't curse a judge, clearly. Elman Damar Elohim Kodesh, but if you say that Elohim in this pasuk is a reference to God, Gamar Chol Mikodesh, are we learning? How can we learn the judge from God? Tilma Kodesh Azra Cholo Azra. Maybe God says you can't. God says that you can't curse me, but He doesn't mind if you curse the judge. Im Cain, if so, the pasuk should have said Lo Sakel. Don't be light with him. Why does it say my lo sikalel? Now turning to Samach Levim and Beis, why does it say don't curse with two letters lamed? Shema mina, that's to say two things. Number one, not allowed to curse God. And number two, not allowed to curse a judge. So since if it would have said Elohim lo sikalel, I would have known not to curse a judge. I wouldn't have needed the pasuk to say don't curse a leader, because I would have said from judge and death, I derive all the unusual people. Why does it also say, don't curse a leader? That's to say that it's extra to say, don't curse a father. And that's the source for the prohibition not to curse a father. The punishment of cursing a father, the Torah says, is stoning. Next mission, the next topic of where a person can get stoned to death. Habal Naira Morasa. If there's a 12-year-old girl, she's a Na'ara, and she's not only partially married, she is arusa, she's betrothed, so she's still living in her father's home, but her husband has already given her money to create kiddushin. Abal nara ma'arusa, eino chayiv, so he's only going to get stoned, achete nara, once she becomes a na'ara. Bisula, she also has to be a virgin, and ma'arusa, she has to be betrothed. Ve'hi bevei savia, and she has to still be in her father's home. But if her father's already handed her over to the representatives of the husband, then already if someone has relations with her, there would not be an obligation of stoning. Let's say two people had relations with her, both from the rear, so she's still a virgin. Harishon Beskila, she's not treated as a virgin. The first one is had relations with a virgin, he gets stoned. The second one is considered to have had relations with a woman who's already had relations, and therefore he gets killed by choking to death, and he doesn't get stoned. Yeah, question.
Yeah. Dishonest to Meurasa, less than 12 years, no skila?
Correct. We'll see. The Gemara is going to discuss it.
Wow. So the first one to be stoned, the second one is strangled. Is that right?
Right. That's right. Tana Rabban and our sages taught us in a brisa. The Torah says, "Ki yenara b'solah b'sulam orasal ish." When there will be a young lady who is a virgin and she's betrothed to a man, so it says naara, a young lady. 12, Lobogaris, that means she can't be 12 and a half. Bisula, a virgin, Lobula, she can't be a woman who's already had intercourse. Me'orasa, betrothed, Velonasua, not fully married. Bidei Savia, still in her father's home. Pratlishamasar, Avlishluchiabal, if the father's already handed her over to the representatives of the husband, then there is no such death penalty. I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah said the name of Rav. So this that we learned, our Mishnah that said he's only going to get stoned if she's 12. And implying if she's less than 12, as Izzy just said, there wouldn't be stoning. Did Rabbi Meir here? That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim, but the Chachamim say, Na'aram O'rasachu, the Torah talks about a 12-year-old. But if you look Tana B'mashma, it includes even younger than 12, even if she is still a minor.
Now, this she you're talking about Jewish.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Amalei Rav Acham Adifti L'Ravina. Rav Acham Adifti said to Ravina, Mimai Demas Nisim Rabbi Meir L'mutik Tana Nami. Who's to say that our Mishnah is saying that if she's a minor, younger than 12, there is no stoning? Tumur Rabbanan Hi. Maybe it's the view of the Rabbanan that if she's a minor and she was, you know, there was relations with her, there is stoning. Why does it say she has to be 12? Umuti Bogeres, the Sulo, just saying she can't be too old. She can't be mature. She can't be 12 and a half or older. But she could be younger than 12. Amli Ravina, Ravina said, hi, the Mishnah says, Eino Chayev Achete Nara Basulam Orasa. The Mishnah says, he's not guilty until she is a 12-year-old who's a virgin, who's betrothed. It sounds like he's not guilty until she reaches a certain age. If the point is to exclude an older age, it should say Eino Chayiv, he's not guilty, Ela Al, except for Nara Besulamo Rasami Baile. He's only guilty if she's a 12-year-old, not if she's more than that. But here it says he's not guilty until she's, meaning that when she's younger, not, but when she becomes 12, he becomes guilty. That's what sounds like in the Mishnah. Besulomidi, that's already enough. We don't need any more proof. Clearly, our Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Meir. If a man has relations with a ktana, who's ma'orasa b'veis aviha, there is no stoning. Rav Yaakov bar Idi may Rav. Rav Yaakov bar Idi asked the question of Rav. So what is the punishment for a man who has relations with a minor who is betrothed, who's a virgin in the home of her father? So is it legami m'maitla? Maybe there's no punishment at all. O miskilu m'maitla, or maybe there's no stoning, but as Baruch pointed out, there's choking, like a man who has relations with a married woman, where there's choking, that's the death. Presumably, there's no stoning. Maybe the stoning is strict, so that's only when it's a 12-year-old. So a minor, it's a little bit less, but still going to be death, so it makes sense that there would be the death of choking. That's what Rav said back to Rav Yaakov Bar Adda. So Rav Yaakov Bar Adda asked, but the verse says, "Ki imatze isha chevim isha beulas baal." If a man will be found laying with a woman who's had relations with her husband already, then umesu gam shnehem, both of them are to die. So it says gam, both shnehem, both of them. Actually, shnehem shavim. It sounds like they have to have the same punishment. So here it's a minor; she's not being punished at all. So why should the husband? Why should the man having the relations be punished? So shatik Rav. Rav was quiet. Amar Shmuel said, "My time is shatik Rav. Why is Rav quiet?" But namely, why doesn't he say to her, to back to Rav Yaakov? But there's another pasuk. The pasuk says in regards to a man who rapes a nara ma'orasa, so he forces himself onto her. The man who lays with her himself is the one who dies. Nothing is done to her. So the fact that the Torah says nothing is done to her is clearly to tell me there are cases where the man dies and not the wife. Just to tell me that she doesn't get punished. We already know that because the pasuk said, "V'lanayra lo sasa davar." Don't do anything to her. She was forced. So clearly, he can die, even though she's not dying. The truth is, Kitanoi, this question is an argument already before Rav and Rav Yaakov. It was an argument of the Tanoim. The verse says, "Umei sugam shnehim," and both of them will die. That's to say, "Hachu shnehim shavim." That means they both have to be of the same level. David Rabbi Yosha. Rabbi Yonason says, "Umei sa'ish asher shachav ima levado," and the man who laid with her by himself, he's the one who will die. I mean, sometimes it's just him. V'idach, and Rabbi Yonason will tell you, "Hahu meisugam shneihem," when the first says, "And they will both die." My darishbe, what does he interpret with that? So Amar Rav, Rav will say, "Lemute," that's to exclude meisachidudin. That if it wasn't actually intercourse, it was just that he was aroused and he, you know, in the externals, you know, his genitalia brushed against her genitalia, so that's not a reason to die. Because it has to be gam shneihem, they have to be both together. V'idach and Rabbi Yoshia, who learns from Omesu gam shneihem, that if a man has relations with a minor, then they don't die, because since they're not both dying, because she clearly doesn't die, she's a minor, she doesn't have das, so therefore he doesn't die too. Masachidu, how does he know that just to be aroused doesn't create a death penalty? Masachidu dem lev klumi. Just to be aroused is nothing, it's not intercourse. The prohibition is intercourse. V'idach.
I don't know.
It sounds like all cases. If it's a minor who's married, according to this opinion, there's no death penalty for either.
There is a difference between forcing, which is raping.
Yes.
And mutually they want to, you know.
Okay.
Is that right, Baba? There's a difference there, right?
For a minor, not. Because a minor, even if she agrees... But she's a minor. She doesn't have dot. She's certainly not going to die. But he might die. V'idach, and Rabbi Yoshia, who holds that it has to be both of them getting the punishment. So, hi, levado. So what's he going to do with the extra word in regards to the case of rape, which says that only the man gets put to death? My darish bey. What's he going to interpret with it? Kidatanya, it's like what we learned in a brisa. Bo alea, asar bnei adam. What happens if 10 people have relations with a na'ara who is betrothed, all through the rear, all with anal intercourse? V'adayin hi b'sula, so she stays a virgin. So kulam b'skila, so they all get stoned. But Rabbi Omer Rishon Beskila, only the first one gets stoned, but after the first one, she's no longer betula, she's no longer virgin. V'kulan bechenek, the rest get choked. So that's the idea of the word levado, only one will get skila, but others will not. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, "Uvasish Kohen, the daughter of the Kohen, ki seichel is knows when she will desecrate by being disloyal to her husband, she gets killed by burning." Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, "Why does it say teichel is note? It's from the word tchila, from the word beginning." The verse also says, "And the man who laid with her himself, he's the one who dies." My comment, what's Rabbi saying? I'm Rav Huna, bridge of Yeshua. Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, explained. Rabbi Kreb Yishmael Svirle. Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yishmael. Tamar, who said, Arusa Yatzalis Reif of Alon Nesua. He says that if the Bat Kohen is betrothed and then she's disloyal to her husband, she gets burned instead of being stoned. But if she's fully married, then she doesn't get burned, she gets choked. Vachikam, this is what Rabbi is saying. Im Tchilas Bia Biznos. If it's her first intercourse, and her first intercourse is a desecration of the relationship to her husband that she is arusa to, bisreifa, then she gets burned. Idach, but if it's after the first intercourse, then if she has relations with somebody other than her husband, bechenek, she gets choked. Umay v'cheinu omer, what's the meaning of, and so too it says, only that man will die? So ki hasam, like we have with nara morasa. Mahasam, just like with the betrothed Na'ara, betchilas bia kamishtai yikra. The pasuk is talking about the first intercourse. And if there's after that, subsequent intercourses, those people don't get stoned. Hachanami, so to hear in regards to the daughter of the Kohen, betchilas bia kamishtai yikra. The Torah is saying that if her first intercourse was a desecration of the bonds of Erusin, then she gets burned. Amalei Ravibi Bar Abaya, Ravibi, the son of Abaya, said to him, "Mar, our teacher, lo achiyama." That's not how he explained, Rabbi. Umani, who is the master, Ravibi? I'm sorry. Who is the master that Ravibi is talking about? Rav Yosef. He was the teacher of Abaya too. So he said like this, Rabbi, Kirabi Meir, Sfirle. Rabbi is following Rabbi Meir. The Amar, who says, Nisis Lechem and Apsulim, that if the daughter of the Kohen marries fully someone who desecrates her, let's say she marries a mamzer, she marries a halal, she marries a convert, and then she has nus, misasa b'chenek, then she gets choked and doesn't get burned. This is the way they read it. Im tchilas achalasa biznus, if the beginning of her desecration of kahuna is this nus, then sreifa, then she gets burned. But if she already desecrated her kahuna by marrying someone she's not allowed to marry, then chenek, then she gets choked. Now what's the connection between this and the law that the man who forces himself onto a nara ma'orasa, only he dies, and not the nara? Simana ba'alma, that's just a way to remember. That just like a nara ma'orasa, the Torah says, the first relations is what causes her to die. So to hear, the first desecration is what would cause her to get burned. But if it's not the first desecration, she already was desecrated, that wouldn't cause her to get burned. I wanted just